Speaking of name calling, the first openly gay state lawmaker in Pennsylvania, they have one now, is a guy named Brian Sims. And he's got a Facebook page, and like you would imagine, people post things on legislators' Facebook pages and say things, pro and con or whatever. There's one person named David who is trolling him, though, with racist and bigoted messages. At least that's the way CNN described them. I didn't see the posts themselves, but the state representative saw that. And then he noticed on the post by this kid that he would sometimes post a phone number. Don't know how or why that happens, but son of a gun, this David puts his grandmother's phone number online. So the state lawmaker posts this: David, I can't tell if you're just a really dumb little boy or an angry bigot, but I know for sure that you should not have posted your grandmother's telephone number on your Facebook page so many times. She and I just had a very disappointing chat about you. We'll talk soon.
That's pretty funny.
He said, I had no intention of doing that, but when I saw that, I thought, wow. You know, maybe that's the way to fight this, is find these people's wives or children or parents and talk to them. That state lawmaker, Brian Sims, is on the phone. Brian, this is John Williams, and you're on WGN in Chicago. Hi.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Is that the way the story goes?
That is the way the story goes. Can you believe that a guy that would, so that you know, what he posted was just the N word and the F word, and that was it. And it really did catch me off guard, but what makes somebody like that then go ahead and post a telephone number all over their own Facebook page is beyond me.
How old is this person?
If I were to guess, he's in his early 20s, probably 21, 22, from Central Michigan.
Central Michigan, not Pennsylvania even.
No, not Pennsylvania.
I guess it doesn't matter. Bigotry knows no state lines, but why would he care about an out-of-state state lawmaker? How in the world did he even find you to troll?
To be honest with you, it's a great question. I'm not 100% sure. I think what he probably did is just found me somewhere online and decided to give me a call.
And did he know that you were gay? Is it apparent on your Facebook page?
It is. I'm a gay civil rights activist, so I do a ton of this work very publicly, and I'm sure that's how he hunted me down.
So you called his grandmother. He lives with his grandmother?
I didn't know that it was his grandmother. I just called the number, and I'm still not 100% sure if he actually lives with her, but he was. But she, as she indicated, was sure able to reach him.
So then did you end up having a conversation with him yourself?
I did. We spoke briefly. We didn't resolve much, but you know, I'm still glad that I was able to speak to him, and I'm even happier that I spoke to his grandmother.
So I'm interested that you didn't resolve much, because typically when you call someone who does that, they, you know, and you make a personal connection, they back down.
It really deflates that.
Yeah, he frankly just wanted to lie about it. Originally he said it wasn't him, somebody else had done it, and then he said it was him, and then again towards the end said that it was somebody else, and so it was clear that we weren't getting very far.
No contrition on his part, huh?
No.
He didn't say, I'm sorry, either that I did it or that somebody did it. Nothing like that.
Not at all. Not at all. Although I can't imagine Sunday dinners are going to be the same again for him.
Did you see the Heineken commercial that's out online today?
I haven't yet, but I've heard good things.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of speaks to what you're going through there. You know, it's sort of the reverse, they say, of the Pepsi ad, where they ridiculously say we're going to use this Black Lives Matter march, and when the Pepsi reaches across the line to the cops, all the problems are solved. But in this case, it's a bunch of people who identify themselves as being pro one thing and anti the other, you know, so it's people who are politically quite opposite. And then they put them in a room one at a time, you know, two at a time, one of each. And they say, okay, now we have a couple of exercises for you, like sit down and talk, make out a list of things that maybe you have in common, then build a bridge or a bar. They actually have to assemble something cooperating. And as they do it, you realize they could learn to like each other. And then the big reveal is they open up this one thing, a globe, and there's some Heinekens in there. So now they're having a toast and having a beer. And it's so obvious when you're watching this where this thing is going, but it works. It was actually effective. You know what I mean?
I sure do. And I, you know, here's the thing. This is all, you know, this is about Donald Trump. And I want to be clear about that. You guys were talking about his language and his rhetoric today. And what that rhetoric does is it empowers this sort of this basement sort of computer coward to do these kinds of things. And it's incumbent upon the rest of us to stand up and stop them.
That's funny, because I have not in my own mind resolved what to do with these people. You know, should every time we try and stamp out that fire, or sometimes should we not give them the stage?
It's hard to tell. And the triage of this is complicated. You know, you don't want to give people a larger platform, but there is this idea that if these people are going to be empowered by the platform that Donald Trump is giving them or allowing them, then we need to use our collective platforms to let them know that that's false power.
I honestly didn't call you because I saw this as a quote-unquote Donald Trump thing. I get your point. Do you feel, though, then, at least in the big picture, you've made some progress here, that some good has come from this, Brian?
I do, and I'll tell you why. You know, in the anti-bullying movement, which is something that we've been pushing hard the last 10 years, just the last couple of years, we've really begun to progress towards this idea of bystander intervention, as in don't just let something happen, get in, step up, you know, voice up and get involved. And I hope what this does is it compels people, you know, maybe not to just pass beyond that troll or that bigot, but to actually confront them and to say, hey, this isn't acceptable. And my hope is that, like in this case, that person won't be doing it again afterward. I suspect that David isn't going to be writing, you know, homophobic or racist posts on any legislators' pages anytime soon.
Brian Sims is a lawmaker from Pennsylvania. How do we follow you, Brian?
You can follow me online at just Brian Sims on Facebook. I'm easy to find.
S-I-M-S, Brian Sims. Nice to talk to you. Maybe we'll find occasion to visit again. It's a pleasure, sir.
Guys, thank you so much for having me.